You're listening to Fireside with Jim, Nancy, and crew.
Is this the Larry Glick Show?
Let me check.
Is this Larry Glick?
Ask me anything. My answer has it. Let me check.
The great, magnificent Larry Glick from the old days of WMEX 1510 Boston. We're live and lively this morning from Marina Bay. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great day down here. There's snow all over the place. The winds are really howling. And we're going to have a great, great, great show for you today. I hope you all had a good week. And tomorrow's a big day, Super Bowl Sunday coming up. And I want to say a special good morning to Mr. Howie Carr, who had surgery yesterday, elective, and he's okay. And he'll be back on the air, from what I understand, on Monday. Dr. K and Brian Berner. And I want to say a special, special good morning to my fabulous wife, Nancy Mulverhill.
Good morning. How are you?
I thought I'd ad-lib that because I think I ad-lib better than what
I write.
Yeah. Oh. About me and about you, rather. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to let anybody know the real, true meaning of what I think about you. I'm kidding, dear.
I know.
It's a great day to be alive. We're down in Marina Bay broadcasting live.
The other day you saw that bumper sticker that said, "My wife's car is a broom," and you wanted to get one.
I did. I really did. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this about Nancy. We only really need one broom. We're in a relatively small condominium. It's a townhouse. And she made me go get another broom. And she can never find the second broom or the first broom. And it really irritates me. And this morning I got up to make coffee and I tripped over one of the brooms and I swore at one of the brooms. And I know when I don't see her around at night, she's probably out taking a ride on one of the brooms.
Oh, how unkind.
How, what a kind.
Well, let me tell you, darling, bumper sticker I saw.
Uh-oh.
I don't really like it, but the bumper sticker said, "Grow your own dope, plant a man."
You got me, right?
Whoa, bada bing.
Okay, plant your own dope, grow a man. Okay.
So moving right along, dear.
Moving right along. Good morning to the lovely, lovely Julie Rose. How are you, Julie? You look beautiful as usual.
Good morning. Thank you.
Have you had a busy week?
Very busy. I'm getting ready tonight. I got a 10-person tarot card party. I cannot wait.
Terrific. You ready for Super Bowl tomorrow? It's a big day.
Yeah. My parents are actually having a huge party, so.
Oh, are they going to invite us?
Hey, if you want to come by, hey, why not, right?
Julie, if someone wanted to find you to do some tarot card reading, where would they? What would they do?
Yeah, you can actually just go right on the internet. My webpage is www.gardenforevertarot.com. All the information's up there about me and what I do. And
you're really
even
good.
A link to the Fireside, because you guys are my family forever.
You are our family.
Right on.
Thank you.
Our family. And our chief producer, the master of the control booth.
Handsome
and single and looking for a beautiful young woman, which Jay and I and Mikey will probably find you soon.
Yeah.
With the cold, he crawled in here. He's been sick all week. See the dedication that Chris has to radio. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm better than you are. You got a beard, too. You look like a mountain man this morning.
Yeah, I know.
But you're here.
I'm here.
The gang is all here to entertain the masses of the media people that are listening to us, and we're very, very happy. We're going to have a great show today, and we want you to call in, because this is going to be a special one, at 617-237-1234, 617-237-1234. We are going to be talking in just a moment or two with Michael Modzelewski.
He's been rehearsing that name for 5 days.
Yes, I have.
And I hope we have it right. Go ahead, dear.
Well, I try.
You do try. You're very trying. Go ahead.
I know I'm very trying. Michael's a very interesting chap, having gone from living 18 months in Alaska to Cosmo's Man of the Year page. Wow, what a jump. Imagine being in the woods for 18 months, and then you're a centerfold for Cosmo's page. That's interesting.
It's very interesting.
We'll have, I hope I don't butcher his name either, we'll have Bob Heidelberg, Patriots historian and author of Why We Love Boston. He has a brand new 2015 page calendar out with incredible information for anything and everything about Boston for each day of the year. And then we have George Fennell, our entertainment reporter, this morning at 11:30. And we'll have Steve Gamblin, words of inspiration during our second hour. Right now, is Michael on the phone?
I believe he is. Michael, good morning.
Michael, good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
How are you? Did I butcher your name, Michael? This is Jim Callahan.
No, Jim, it was perfect.
Yes, you're way too kind. My wife.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Good morning, Michael.
My wife is a big fan of yours, Michael.
I am.
Well, thank you.
She's really hasn't stopped talking about you since Monday.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not kidding.
Well, Michael's an amazing man. I mean, he is self-actualized. He's ultra marathon runner. He's gone on safaris like I have, except he walked on it. Do you lead them, Michael?
Yes, I'm in Tanzania, and I work with a guy from Texas that lives over there, and we coordinate. We take groups of about 10 or 12 people, and we walk 8 to 10 miles a day across the bush.
And you probably encounter a few lions and tigers, but lions and whatever, right?
Yeah, and there's a lion, 50 yards away.
Whoa.
And when your boot's on the ground,
whoa,
try to tell your heart rate to slow down.
I don't see how you could do that.
But, you know, the lions never attack groups of people, because the strange thing was is they used to be hunted. A rite of passage for a Maasai boy, a native boy, was to kill a lion with a spear. And all of his homies, all of his buddies would go with him en masse. You know, the sort of the Greek chorus to lend support.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's genetic memory or what, but to this day, lions fear groups of people.
Oh,
so when we walk straight across. In case anybody falls back to tie their shoe or gets too far ahead, I pull them back.
Well, that's kind of a safety net for you guys. That's a good thing. That's a real
good because
thing.
When you're in a Land Rover, you're always taking an arrogant angle of your photography is always shooting down on the animal. In this way, you're eye level, which is exciting.
Michael, do you ever worry that one of those lions didn't get the message in their genes?
In years of doing this, the guy that I work with over there only had to kill one animal that was a threat.
And that
the trivia question, I'll throw it out there. It's the animal that kills, not an insect, but an animal that kills the most people in Africa, what would it be?
Is it a boar, a wild boar, a hippo,
hippopotamus.
Hippopotamus.
Well, Nancy.
You know, did you ever see a hippopotamus like at the zoo in a picture? It has those saber sword teeth on the bottom jaw.
And they're very
territorial. So what happens is natives are usually trying to cross a little creek or river in some flimsy raft. And the hippo, you know, comes up out of the water and just bites the person in half. They own their territory, you know.
Whoa. They can run, too, can't they? Can they?
Yeah, they're surprisingly fast.
For as large as they are.
Yeah.
What was the most amazing sight you've seen over there?
Oh, in Africa, there's so many, as you know, having been there. I think that my favorite place, I have two favorite places in the world, and one of them is the Ngorongoro Crater in Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
It's 7,000 feet up. It's an old, huge volcano caldera that imploded, and it's 12 miles across the diameter inside the volcano cone or top. Mm-hmm. 7,000 feet up, you don't have to worry yet about malarial mosquitoes, global warming those, raising them up higher. And they have two or three lodges up on the rim that you don't see until you bump into because they're made out of the native stone. And in the morning, you get up about 4 o'clock, sit out there on a wooden balcony, and you're in the treetop jungle. Monkeys are, stealing your biscuits and drinking half your coffee. And see the sunrise. Sun comes up, and it spills this blood-red light into this chalice of this volcano caldera. And I mean, there's just so many magical things. And then you bounce down the Land Rover, and all the animals are in a condensed area. Like in the Serengeti, you got to go sometimes days or weeks to track down the big herds. But they're all up there.
Michael,
and
you got
the bull elephants. Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. Continue.
On the bull elephants, that you can't find an elephant anymore. It's so sad because of the poaching.
Mm-hmm.
They have the 10-foot tusks. Well, they know that this is their retirement home up there, that they're protected. So the old-time guys that still manage to elude poachers, you can still kind of find old Africa up there, you know, with the elephants, with the long tusks, though.
You got malaria while you
malaria.
Were there. Malaria.
Yeah, you know, the first time I went to Africa, about 20 years ago now, I took a group to Kenya. And I was trying to figure out what did I do different that the other 20 people didn't. And being an addicted runner, of course you can't run these beautiful trails or, you know, when you're in motion, that's a signal for a predator to come and get you. So I would run every day at the end of the day around the encampment. And mosquitoes are attracted to carbon dioxide, I found out later.
That's interesting.
So I was the only one that was sort of pumping out the heavy breath. And got bit by an Anopheles mosquito, which is the worst malaria in the world. It's called falciparum. It's the most dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You have a 50-50 shot of living or dying.
Let me give the number out, Michael. I want to have some people call in today if they're wanting to ask questions, because you have an amazing story to tell, and you've done just about everything there is to do, like my wife. It's 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. That's the number to put you through to Michael.
So you got this malaria. Had you had a shot? Had you had shots?
Well, you know, I did everything I took. I took all the preventative medicine ahead of time. But for some reason, I got it. And then I spent a week in a hospital for tropical disease in London, England. And this is an old-time hospital, been there about 110 years, rippled glass in the windows, crooked wooden floors, not very high-tech, but a lot of TLC. And what saved my life was a tree bark from South America, from the cinchona tree that makes quinine.
Wow.
And I had 107-degree fevers, and then you would have chills that would chip your teeth. I mean, it was nature's torture rack. And somehow I pulled through that.
Did you have a lot of delusions?
I can't even think of the word.
Delusions.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get into these hallucinations, and because all the endorphins that are reacting to that pain are kicking in big time in your brain. And in fact, I wrote about it in a book called Angeli's Crest. And I mean, you're kind of getting peaks behind the, you know, the doors of perception, and amazing experience. But a doctor came in one day and he said, you know, Stephen King could not write the horror stories we have in our file cabinets in the basement. And he said, when you live in a temperate climate like North America where you get frost and snow, that kills a lot of the bugs.
Uh-huh.
He said, when you live in the tropics, there are there's bacteria, there's sand fleas, there's all this stuff that can really put the human system into disarray.
How long did it take you to get over this?
Well, you know, it took me probably 2 months, but the strange thing is that saying that which does not kill me makes me stronger, Nietzsche.
Uh-huh.
Now, because I lost all my red blood cells, and you know, it's funny, when I came back, I was living in California at the time, I was having these dreams in my mind of, remember those old thing, was it Tinker Toys, where you could take like these spindle and whorls and stick them together and build things? I was dreaming about that. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a small TMI, a small stroke, where I lost my power of speech. And I depend on that as for a good part of my living as a public speaker. So I was talking, my words were sort of slurred, and the doctor said, hey, man, you're lucky, you're alive, go to a speech therapist, you're going to have to relearn how to talk again. So anyway, I'm having these spindle and whirl dreams, these construction dreams, and I wake up one morning, I'm speaking perfectly, because the human brain is so amazing, it figures out where there's a damaged area, and we have so much unused circuitry that it rewires around the bad spot. So those dreams I was having in my subconscious was actually happening at night. with my brain.
Wow.
It's amazing.
So,
what
you know, I mean, I took it right up to the limit. And then the funny thing was, because you lost all your red blood cells, and in our bone marrow is where we make red blood cells, I turned into a human vampire for about 2 weeks.
Really?
All I wanted was filet mignon, not cooked, warmed up for about 10 seconds. I'd eat it raw, and then I would drink the grease and blood from the plate underneath the meat. I remember being at the post office. There was this beautiful woman ahead of me. Uh-huh. I kept staring at her neck. It's like I could almost understand the urge to just, you know, sink the fangs in. And then after about 2 weeks, that went away. I was back to my semi-vegetarian diet. And but now I can climb higher mountains. Because it's almost as if the red blood cells came back even stronger than they did before the malaria and the rebuild. This the human body is absolutely miraculous what we can do with ourselves.
It really is.
Michael, we have to take a break to pay a few bills here. This is an amazing, fascinating story. If anybody would like to call Michael, it's 617-237-1234, 617-237-1234. We'll be back on WMEX 1510, where Liberty has a voice.